Nice song service.
First John chapter 5. Look with me in verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Verse 15, and we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And John is very, very good at reminding, at repeating fundamental, basic truths. In five chapters so far, he has reminded and repeated things over and over, basic things that we as Christians should know. But he has reminded and repeated that we can know we're saved, we're redeemed. We can know that. We can know we have eternal life. Reuben wants to talk about being sealed when you're saved. And so he repeats it and repeats it, and he reminds us that we can do it. And then gives us verses on how we can know that and how it's possible. So he's been reminding us how we can know we're saved. He's been reminding us how we can know we have eternal life. And then here again, and for about the third time already in 1 John, we can know that our prayers are heard and answered. He's just reminding us something we know. He's repeating something we know. And so it talks about that here in these two verses here, 1 John 5, 14. So it's just basic nuts and bolts, beans and taters, fundamental basic truths that he's teaching us in these and reminding us afresh and anew these great things here in 1 John. Now, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, the disciples came to Jesus. And here's what they ask him. Lord, teach us to pray. These very men, these disciples, these very men, these followers, these very men, these the ministry staff. So we'll just say they're on staff there with the Lord Jesus Christ. And these very men who for 3 years in Jesus' earthly ministry, themselves, that they simply begin to talk amongst themselves as they watch Jesus' actions, Jesus' behavior, Jesus' traits, Jesus' actions and conduct. And here's what they said amongst themselves. No man ever talked like this man. They talked among themselves. They said, no man ever lived like this man. They talked among themselves and said, no man ever walked like this man. They talked among themselves and said, no man ever taught like this man. You see, these disciples had seen with their own eyes Jesus leave their group after all day ministry. They saw Jesus would leave the group and they watched him and he'd go up into a mountain alone to pray. They'd watch him on another day after a full day of ministry. I mean, from sunup to sundown, working with people and helping people and reaching out to people and blessing people and healing people and serving people. And the end of the day, physically exhausted, physically worn out. And then when they were all together, just got finished eating and getting ready to sleep for the night and get some rest, they watched Jesus walk away and they saw him as he went into the wilderness to pray. They saw him and they heard with not only saw with their eyes, but they heard with their ears when they would begin to, before they would eat, and they would hear the master of all masters of praying, and as he would pray to the heavenly Father in heaven to bless this bread, bless this fish we're about to eat. They walked with him. They talked with him. They observed him. And they simply came together in agreement And with the concluding agreement between them all, no one walked like him or talked like him or taught like him. But the overall thing, they came together, they said, no one prayed like him. And they point blank asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, surely they knew how to pray. Surely they prayed themselves. They was on the leadership team and on the staff of Jesus' 3-year ministry, handpicked by Jesus, mentored by Jesus. Surely they thought they knew how to pray, but they asked him in Luke, Lord, they didn't say teach us to sing and teach us to teach and teach us to preach and teach us to heal. They said teach us to pray. That's how important it was to Jesus to do what John is telling us to do. Hey, can I just tell you, I don't know how old you are in the Lord. I don't know what your spiritual age is since you've been saved. 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, whatever it might be. But let me just put this right before we get started. Nobody ever graduates from the University of Prayer. We're still learning. We're still growing. We're still practicing. We're still experiencing prayer. And so John tells us that something we know about prayer. And so we can have confidence. He says in verse 14, we can have confidence in him. Now, sprouting understanding means when it comes to a Christian praying, it means that we have been given the green light, that we've been given access. Not everybody has access to the Father in prayer like Christians do. Only Christians do. What that means in sprouting understanding is when it says we can have confidence in him, we can approach, call, have immediate contact with the God of the universe when we have something heavy on our heart, we have something light on our heart, we have something on our heart that we want to bless someone else. We have access, green light, immediate contact with the one that John says not only hears our prayer, but answers our prayer. And by the way, when you call, my wife's favorite verse in the Bible is Jeremiah 33:3. She calls it God's telephone number. Call unto me. Here it goes. And I'll answer thee. When you call upon God in prayer, what a perk, what a privilege, what a benefit. We get it because we're Christians. And when you call upon him, and I call upon him, hey, can I just tell you, the line is never busy. The line is never disconnected. The line is never jammed. We pray to a personal God, not to some Star Wars character, not to some the old man upstairs, not to some nebulous being. No, no. We pray to God who happens to be our heavenly Father. And prayer is simple. It's simply prayer is asking God for specific things. And John says we can have confidence to pray, to give him our request, to ask. And we can ask and give our request expecting him to answer our prayer request. Three things. It's just a very simple outline this morning. Very simple. Number one, we must discern God's will when we pray. Did you notice verse 14? Look what it says here. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And so 14 gives us four words that are very crucial. According to his will. It's right there in verse 14, our text verse. Now the word discern, we must discern God's will. The word discern is spiritual insight that you have. It's spiritual insight to have peace about something. You want to make a decision? Then God will give you spiritual insight called discernment about making that decision. is promised in God's word. That word discern means to perceive, to recognize, to distinguish on what we ask for, what we do, where we go. It just goes on and on. And so there's discernment that comes along being a Christian. And so to simply get involved in what he says, asking, sharing our requests, asking in prayer, and getting the answer. Hey, number one, we must discern God's will in what we ask for. So John gives us a condition of praying. It must be in God's will. We know that. It must be in God's will. In other words, don't expect a blank check from God to get everything you want. Well, Brother Don, hold it. It says you get everything. Yeah, it also gives a condition that you get everything you ask as long as it's in God's will. And so we're going to see that. We're going to unfold that. To pray in the will of God begins with, hey, we must discern what God's will is. We've got to discern. Spiritual insight, perception, recognize, distinguish. Young seminary student. Praying. Lord, give me a real pretty wife and a real big church. And God gave him a real pretty church and a big wife, all right? So we got to discern. We've got to like see what God's will is when we pray, if we expect to get the answer. Two great resources that help us discern God's will that God's given us. You don't just have to think about it. Hey, number one, the Bible is a resource that God gives us so we can have an understanding of what God's will for us is. The Bible. You see, the Bible has many principles that are outlined as to what God wants us to do, what God wants us not to do, and clear directives, both positive and negative, when it comes to what God wants us to do and His will for our lives. So it's pretty simple. We have the Bible as a resource we can understand about God's will in the matter of many things. Let me give you an example. Some young lady, some young Christian lady falls in love. And she falls in love with a non-Christian young man. And she wants to get married. And he wants to get married. And so, lo and behold, they got this couple. They liked each other. They courted each other. They dated each other. And now they're at the point where they want to see about taking to the next level and getting married. Now, we know that it's God's will for people to get married. God's pro-marriage. But the same book that says marriage is honorable also gives some restrictions about who can and who can't we marry. And the Bible makes it crystal clear in 2 Corinthians that it's not, don't miss it, that it's not God's will for a Christian to marry a non-Christian. As a matter of fact, he says it best in 2 Corinthians. He says, be not unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Okay, so I say that as an illustration to say, look, we have a resource called the Bible that gives us principles and instructions and guidelines on what's God's will and what's not God's will in some cases. So we have to discern. So in this case, the young lady that falls in love with a non-Christian, according to the Bible, they can't get married. So this is something you shouldn't pray about. This is something that you're not to pray for. Now, can the young man get saved? Sure he can. And we all want that, and she probably wants it. But you can't be unequally yoked. And here's what happens, and you got a young Christian lady, she says, yeah, but I can change him. I can change her. Be careful. Be very, very careful. And so the Bible has it in it for a reason. And so she might pray about that young man accepting Christ, becoming a Christian. You pray for that because that is God's will. And so there are things in Scripture we have to discern. And we discern our prayers and ask our prayers based on is it God's will? There are just some things you don't need to pray for. And if that's, God says no, then there's no use. And so we need to understand the resource of Scripture, what it says and what it doesn't say. We are to discern God's will, know what He desires and what He despises for a Christian. And so we need to understand it. So number one resource is the Bible when it comes to understanding God's will. Number two is the Holy Spirit. God gives us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit indwells believers upon the day of salvation. And so you got the Bible and you got the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says over in John chapter 16, it says, He, the Holy Spirit, will guide you into all truth. And so you'll have peace about it. That's how you discern. And so the Bible says this, you can pray about it. That's God's will. And then the Holy Spirit will agree with your spirit and will give you peace about decisions. Now, you can't say, it's God's will for me to marry her. It's God's will for me to marry him. He's a dreamboat. Look at him. No. That's don't have that to do with God's will. And so we got to get into the Bible, and then we have the Holy Spirit that also works with us to give us peace about that matter. So we're number one, discern God's will. Number two, we must desire God's will. So not only discern, but as Christians praying, we are to desire God's will be done. Not my will be done. Our will is different sometimes than His will. So our desire is to say, look, let's take me out of this. God, what's your will for my life? And look what it says in verse 15. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. There's that word desire. So, number one, we are to discern God's will. And number two, we are to desire God's will. Our guidelines for praying in God's will is to desire God's will. Don't just pray for it, but pray that God's will in this decision I have to make. In Romans chapter 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're to have a desire to have God's will in our decisions, our prayers, and those kinds of things. And we can get that through knowing what the Bible says about certain things and also the Holy Spirit, which leads us to peace and guides us. Now, as a pastor who counsels some, sure, a lot when we was in seminary, then they ask if my wife would like to take, you know, pastor's wife counseling. And I said, yes, we want her in that so that when I'm dealing with a couple or I'm dealing with a female, then I can have her in the room with me and they get two counselors. They get his and her counselors. We both had seminary counseling classes. And so so as a pastor who counsels, folks come to me for advice, second opinion, counseling, you want to call it that? I normally can tell in just a very short few minutes that if they made up their mind or not. See, a lot of people will say, well, I'll go see the counselor, I'll go see the pastor, I'll go, and they're checking the box. But you can tell they've got their minds made up before they get there. And so they've got their mind. It's not what God's will is. I have no desire about God's will. This is my will. And they come in there acting like we're going to get God's will in it. And so we got to be very careful about it. See, what they want, they've got their mind made up, but they want me as a pastor or my wife as a pastor's wife or the counselors. They want to get somebody to agree with them, to okay what they want to do, to bless them in their decision when it's not God's will. They want someone to go along with them. This, whatever God says, it's old-fashioned, it's outdated, you know. And so that's what they want. And so we have to, number one, discern God's will. When we pray. And number two, we must desire God's will. I love this verse. I've always loved it. It's been my favorite verse. It's going to be my favorite verse right now. Psalm 37:4. delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Maybe you're here today. You've got a pressing issue. There's something that just you have a desire. I am telling you, God's word says that, hey, he'll give those desires to you. Now, those desires have to line up with God's word. So discernment comes in. Personal desire comes in. We want God's will in this answered prayer, in this prayer we're asking. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, God wants what's best for us. Always keep that in mind. He wants what's best for us. And he has given us the Holy Spirit that indwells every believer upon salvation. Romans 8 says, Holy Spirit guides us in our prayers and gives us peace to help us pray. God's will be done. Peace. You'll have a peace. So number one, we must discern God's will. Number two, we must desire God's will. And last of all, number three, we must do God's will. Got to do it. We must put God's will while praying into practice. Put it into practice. When you pray like that, here's maybe a phrase you heard. When we pray as if everything depends on God, and work as if everything depends on us. Now that's doing the will of God. Knowing it, you have a desire for it, you do it. And so that's what that's talking about. And so the purpose of praying is not to get God in line with our will. With a lot of, I've done that. But to get our will in line with his will. A little harder. But when you know it's in your best interest, in his best interest, he wants the best for you, he wants the best for me, then just figure that out. To God's will. The first Adam prayed. First Adam prayed, not thy will, but mine be done. And he didn't do what God told him to do. He took fruit from a tree God said don't do. It wasn't God's will to do it. No use praying about it. But he did his own thing. And whether he prayed about it, he still disobeyed God. It was disobedience that got him kicked out of the garden for taking some fruit he wasn't supposed to. But the first Adam, we call him Adam, first man, he simply prayed, my will be done. The second Adam, who we know is Jesus, he simply prayed, not my will, but thine be done. And we know he did that in the garden. So the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, two Adams, first Adam, second Adam. Adam, the first male, Jesus was known as the second Adam. And they prayed. One prayed, my will be done. God got in a lot of trouble. Number two, Jesus prayed, not my will. And now we can be redeemed because of that. Verse 15, it says this. Not only can we have confidence in prayer, but we can have conscious certainty of prayers being answered before they even come. You can have so much assurance and so much certainty and so much belief on scripture and so much understanding that it's, hey, I've discerned it, I've desired it, I'm doing it, and you can pray about it knowing that, hey, you can just, it says right there, you can say, hey, it's going to happen because I've followed the guideline. I've followed directives. I've followed God's word. You can have that assurance. I'm going to pray for this knowing I'm getting it because he said you can ask for it and you can get it, but you have to do it according to his will. We know God hears us and answers our prayer. Now, hold it. Don't get ahead of yourself. Sprouting understanding. That means if you follow those three steps, the servant, desire, and doing God's will, we know God hears us and answers our prayer. If you do those three things, if I do those three things, the check's in the mail. You can bank on it. The check's in the mail according to his word. That God's answer is coming if you do that one. Now, the ways God answers prayer. Number one, he was a direct yes. Number two, with a direct no. He might answer your prayer, my prayer, by saying no. I don't. I've had that before. The third way that God answers prayer is direct delay. direct, but he delays the answer. And the fourth way he does it is different than you might have asked. He still answered the prayer, he just did it different than you might ask. Two illustrations real quick. Paul prayed to enter Asia. He's a missionary, mission hardened. And he wanted to go on a missionary journey in Asia. However, God redirected Paul. Sometimes God answers your prayer and redirects him somewhere else to be a missionary. So sometimes that's how he answers a prayer. Mary and Martha, they prayed for Jesus to come and heal their brother Lazarus, who had been sick for 2 days. And the Lord delayed his answer. He didn't come for 2 or 3 days after. Oh, you got to come. Our brother Lazarus is sick unto death. You got to come. And he don't come. He's no hurry. And their brother dies. Lazarus dies. Lazarus is a good friend of Jesus. He dies. These two sisters are heartbroken because they know Jesus and were friends. And Jesus didn't come and he died. It's Jesus' fault. And he just would have came. But what Mary and Martha didn't understand is that Jesus answered their prayer a different way, much better way, when he said, Lazarus come forth and raised Lazarus from the dead. And the Bible says many people believed and were saved. See, sometimes your prayers are answered, they're answered with a delay. Or maybe a change, like Paul was going to be a missionary. And so as I close here, to be an effective prayer, to be an effective person who prays, not a prayer, but prayer. If you're a prayer, keep sins confessed. Our part is to keep, we got to have a clean heart. You don't have to confess to me, you don't have to confess to your brother, your neighbor. You got to just confess to God privately. But you got to have, you got to be clean. You got to clean up. You got to ask God, you got to have your sins confessed. Isaiah says this about that. Listen to what it says. I love the verse. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So you got to have you got to be confessed up. You got to be clean when you enter the presence of a holy God. And the way you do that is just ask God to forgive you, clean you up, and he just does it. It's relatively simple if you can do it. So keep your sins confessed. Number two, ask God to lead us in the right motives. I need a new car, you say. I'm going to pray for a new car. But we say we want to pray for a Mercedes, or we want to pray for a convertible, or we want to pray for fast cars. There's nothing wrong with convertibles. There's nothing wrong with fast cars. There's nothing wrong with certain things. But to pray with it is like, what's the motive? And so you have to have your sins confessed. You have to have the right motive. Just pray for some transportation. Pray for a vehicle. Pray that God would lead you to some vehicle that you need to get back and forth, to get to work, to support your family, to get to church, to worship. I mean, just lots of things. And it might surprise you with God. Remember, he also gives you desires of your heart. He might make that vehicle something you go like, I never would have dreamed. The third thing you got to do is to be an effective prayer is stay in the not my will lane, but don't stay in but thine will be done. Don't stay in that lane that only concerns us, but concerns him. Three prayers God always answers. Father, forgive me for Jesus' sake. That's one. Prayer number two is thy will be done. Pray for that. That's a prayer he'll answer. And give me strength to obey your commands. He'll definitely answer that prayer. Got a problem with something? You're a little tempted for something? Hey, just pray going out. Lord, I'm praying. Give me strength. Give me strength to obey your commands. I've got a little weakness here. I'm going to be going to this place. And just be, he'll answer the prayer. It's in your interest. It's in his interest. Remember, God's commands are not, we learned last week, are not grievous. They're not overburdensome. A command can be done, and so we have to do that. So we must discern God's will. We must desire God's will. And we must do God's will, so that we can get this prayer. When we say our prayers with that, we can be assured that He hears them. He answers. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Simple message from John. First John's been so simple, so basic, so down to earth. Such a great opportunity to be reminded about how good God is to us in these areas that we're very familiar with and matter to us on a daily living basis. So I trust it helped you today. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you just bless. We pray, Lord, that this truth would just find a lodging place, a fresh and new in our hearts. Lord, help us to realize the importance of just knowing your will, praying in your will, doing your will. And Lord, we get the benefits of that. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that however you hear all the prayers across the world, we don't know. We're thankful that we serve a God that can do that. You hear them, and you answer them. And we're thankful for that. Lord, we pray you bless today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Reuben's going to lead us in invitation. If we can help you, pray with you, answer questions for you. Hey, we're here for you. Now.
Just as I am without one thing, but that was shared for me, and thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
One more verse, Brother Reuben.
Just as I am,
anybody. God loves you. Jesus died for you.
He
speaks to you today in the Holy Spirit.
Of one dark blood to thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Thanks so much.